God is good, isn't he?
Yes.
I love what you said, Ernest. The confidence, the trust in our God to create what he intended to create in each and every heart. I love that. And that seed is not small. Sometimes I'll speak it from my experience. I was spoken some great things by the Lord because he knows the end from the beginning, PK.
He does.
In each and every heart, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Each and every world. Or as our brother Ernest brought forth to us tonight, each and every vessel. And at that time, when you receive that word, there's a choice to make. A choice to say, I will serve you because you gave me that word, and I will allow you to bring me into it. Or, okay, I'm that word. I'm going to do my best to be it, and I walk in it according to my own works, trying to bring it forth. But the Bible says that it's created in who? And by who?
Jesus.
By Jesus. This is created by Jesus. You know who that new man is? That new vessel? It's Jesus, but it's also Christ in you, the hope of what? His glory that he has given you. Not your glory that you are going to go and take and try and become in. Does that make sense? So does our Father know the end from the beginning? Did he see Jesus? Did God of heaven imagine, work the word of God to see Jesus? Did he create Jesus for each and every heart that is here tonight, today? He did, didn't he, PK? He created him. How many want to know Jesus? How many want to see Jesus? Why don't we go to the author or to the one who created him? To see him. I know in each heart you may see Jesus in a different light. But if it's by God's light, it's truth, isn't it, James? You said to us today, Ernest, that word, it's all things, isn't it? We sometimes look for that greatness, that glory we can have. But that glory, if it's of your own works and spirit, it's unrighteous. It's not correct, not true, but it is actually you trying to become without God. So what do? We receive the word of the Lord, we follow after the word of the Lord, and it creates in us everything God intended it to be. He says in Isaiah 55, come by me. Drink what I have to give to you. Jesus said to his disciples, he said, you must eat my body and drink my blood. You must partake of me for this life that works within me to be in you. He said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly, more than what you have now, that you might see my Father. He said, I'm here to show you who? My Father. The one who began this work. There was a time for me that sought and danced around this word, that word, this word, that word. But you know what God's showing me? Let's honor God, him, the word from the beginning. The one who's the creator of all things to create in us the new man he's promised us to be. That's how Jesus was formed. Jesus was okay with that. Are you okay with that, Don? I'm okay with that. I've learned now because God was faithful. I've learned to be okay with that now, PK.
Oh, yeah.
In that, he changed me into his word. You say, what does that mean? What does that look like? He gave me a word of him being the righteous man of God. And in that unrighteousness, I was trying to be that man of God. I was young, trying to do what he asked me to do. But what I did was I left him who had the power to bring it all forth in me. And that's not what we want to do. We must honor the Lord. So in Isaiah 55, what else does it say? Let the wicked man forsake his own way, the unrighteous man his own thoughts, and let him do what? Let's return to the Lord. Because when we return to the Lord, you know what it says? The word that I poured out upon you shall not no longer return unto him void. It will do what? It will accomplish what he said it to do. Not what I sent it to do, but what he sent it to do. I believe there's times where that word's going to be raised up in my heart by the word of God, by the anointing that says, you go send your word forth now. Because we're one now. PK, is God making you one with the word? One with him? Do you now have that word to then speak to your kingdom within? To say, come and join this word of the Father, make all things new. How do we become that new man? We are created by his word. It's created. It's in him. And the word that he breathed into us and gave us from the beginning, is that not every bit of him? Does he not come back and revisit it, James? Make it become more. Does he not reveal his glory? Man, Rick Daniel has talked to us about Deuteronomy 29. I think it's 29. And he said, the secret things of the Lord are hid, but to those that are revealed, who is it now? Whose possession is it now? It's ours. In who? In our own righteousness? For our own glory? Or for the glory of God and his righteousness? That sounds like a new man, doesn't it? A new woman created. But in each heart, he gave you a measure of faith, didn't he? Faith in who? Faith in him. When faith goes within, and it now is of him, you become. You are. Because he promised it, and he cannot lie. What does it say? I got to read this, because this is powerful. I'm telling you, man. God, he loves his people. This, God has been helping me with this. It says, but the anointing which you have received of who? Him. Oh, no, it's your anointing. It's your discernment. It's your word. It's your righteousness, your glory. He said, the anointing which you have received of him, it abides in you. Do you know that the anointing of the Lord abides in you? Are you still looking somewhere else? You're trying to say it's separated from you, or did God give you his anointing by his spirit and his word? He gave it to you. It says, it abides in you, and you need not that any man teach you, but the same anointing, James, the same word that God imagined and created and spoke and said, let there be light. That same word is that same anointing that creates all things. So has God finished you? In his mind, are we finished in him? So why do we try and figure everything out if we're already finished in him? We just must receive him as the gift that he is to us. That's grace, man. When I didn't know how to walk, when we don't know how to walk, God gave us the gift of grace to say, don't look at your sin. Look at me as your father. Give ear, O my people, and follow me, and I will do what I said I would do. Kleenex, please. My mucus system, whatever you want to call it, it runs every time. Every time. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you of all things and is what? Truth. You know what truth? Truth for me has changed. Truth for me is not what I think it is anymore. It's what God said. That's true. Because his spirit does not lie. We, without his spirit, what are we? Liars. We don't want to be liars, do we? We want to walk in the truth. All right. And is no lie. And even as it, what is the it there? The anointing. Even as the anointing teaches us or hath taught you, you shall. Not maybe, not even a point to where you're going to have to choose it at that moment. He already made this happen for you in the beginning. You come into, he brings it into you. I know there's a choice. I believe that there's a great choice. But when he joins you in the spirit of the anointing, you remember who you are. Therefore, you're a believer, James. And in a belief of who you are from the beginning in that anointing, guess what you do? You agree with your Father and say, as you have spoken, so shall I be. Come on, man. No more confidence in the flesh, but confidence in the greatness of our God who has spoken to each and every heart. You tell me he hasn't spoken to you, and I'll show you where that lie is going to be cast out. I was listening to this message the other day of our pastor, our beloved pastor, Rick Rush, who said, what? And he said it with such fervency. What has God said to you? Do you know that is your life tonight or today? I'm going to do that like five times. Whatever time of day it is, do you know it? What God has said to you is your life. And we must learn to be led by that same spirit. If we learn to be led by that spirit, what does John tell us that is? Sons of God, they are led by the Spirit. We learn that our Father knows all things. We don't know all things, James, except to be revealed to us. But as he reveals it to us, as this anointing works, which is in God, and he put in you, what happens? We are changed. It says, as it teaches us, Ernest, we are made like him. Wait a minute. So I see Jesus as the truth, the way, the life, the Savior of all the world. And I've gone to do that and those things, and I haven't walked with him, but he's rejoined it and caused us to learn from it, to say, I will follow you in this anointing, and you will continue to create in me, and I will walk with you. No more in disobedience. Sounds like a restoration. Adam disobeyed, didn't he? He went out from the commandment of the Lord. If he would have just, Pastor Gary taught us this, if he would have sat and came back and, Lord, I'm sorry that you told me to not eat, but I ate. I went out. I was in death. Let me return unto you and give me your life, because your life became God's life. He could change. That life changed and takes every bit of death away and says, be made new. We are made new by the Holy Ghost, by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God. And that is the discerner. That is what works in the heart to bring these things forth. Praise God tonight. Yes. Praise God. Because he's worked a work for every single individual. Now, let me take a drink. Is this, you remember Pastor Daniel has taught to us very specifically, and he's guided us the year of the Spirit. Grace, rest, the sons of God. You know what I began to see this week and whatever, this time I've been here? That glory, oh yeah, it's the Word of God. And there's different growths, if I could say it that way, in that word. But it's a time of a revealing of Christ where? In us, isn't it? And that word is not the former gospel. Do you know what I mean by that? There was a gospel that Saul walked according to. He had the word of the Lord. It was in his conscience. He thought he was doing a service unto God, but that service, what did it do? It persecuted him. It persecuted the truth, didn't it? Mm-hmm. But when the Spirit came, it took that word, and what did it do? Did it change it? Did it say, come into my will? Come into the new man? Come into Paul, whom I've called you to be, and do the works of God. This is what we must give ourselves to. God, the faithful one, the one who sowed the seed in the heart, in the world to bring it forth. This is how we are created and made new. You had up here, the word creates the imagination and the image, and it does the work, doesn't it? Oh, man. God has done such a good work for us. He saved us, Ernest. He brought us back, joined us. Think about that joining. What is he really joining you to? To him, isn't it? It's to him. Is Jesus the word from the beginning? Yes, he is. And that word was spoken in different glories to become who he was, not only in heaven, but in the earth. And he took it and he sowed it. And when he sowed it, do you think he sowed it in that new man, in the perception of life? Did it manifest that which was not of life? It did, didn't it, in the disciples? There were things that were in the disciples that were working against that word, wasn't there? But what happened? Did Jesus leave it there? Did Jesus say, Peter, I'm going to die. Mm-hmm. I know you're saying no, Lord. Mm-hmm. But did Jesus leave him there, PK?
No, he told him he
did. He did, didn't he? He expounded it to him. He brought him into another glory. Did he reveal himself to him, PK?
Yeah.
Did he say, I know you don't want me to go, but right now you still see me as portions of flesh. But I'm going to put this body down. That way I can be raised up in the new man so you can see your new man. Oh, come on. Did Jesus save our world? Oh, man. The anointed word from heaven took on a body to bring forth salvation to our world. Oh, come on. Joined us back with the word from the beginning. To create it in us that we might have his life. Oh, God is so good. So good to us. Man, I love it. We were at breakfast this morning. And I'm just going to say this. God was with us. The Holy Ghost was with us because he sowed it into us. And he's bringing those things forth. Right now, he's the one working this work and bringing us in to his imagination. And when he brings us into his imagination, he brings us into his good works. I asked Pastor Daniel this question. I know some of this I said earlier, but it's all of what God's helping me with. I asked him, I said, how can the disciples and the apostles do something greater than Jesus? Because Jesus told him, greater things than these shall you do. And what I didn't understand, what I needed guidance and help in, was Jesus was sent for a very specific thing. Yes. Wasn't he, PK?
Yeah.
Very specific thing. And did he accomplish what he was sent forth to do? Why? Because he waited and served the word of God from heaven, of the testimony of who he was, and he obeyed it. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, by one man's sin, one man's disobedience, what entered into the world? Death. By one man's life, what entered into the world? Life. Or excuse me, by one man's obedience, what entered into the world? Life. He's performed this work for us. It's a gift of God. Receive the gift. It's, what is it? Is it 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy where it talks about by grace are you saved through faith? It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should what?
Boast.
Ooh, I know that boasting. I know that boasting according to the flesh. But you know what also I'm learning? The boasting according to the Spirit. Paul said, I was zealous according to my knowledge of the truth. But when the Lord visited him, do you think that zeal left him? Nope. What happened? It was changed to the zeal of the Lord, wasn't it? Conversion, new life. So if we see God, the author and finisher of our faith. Oh, take that right now. Receive that right now. He is the author and finisher of my faith, your faith, Dawn. This is God's Spirit working. This is God creating. He's your author and finisher of your faith. Faith in who? Faith in Him. Therefore, we come to a point to say, Lord, you are my beginning. And Lord, you are my end. And everything in between, you're going to teach me how to walk in it and walk in truth. So does that anointing and that word join you to Him? Does it leave you out or does it bring you in? It brings you into what? Into Jesus. Into the right heart, the right perception, the new man, the new world, the new heaven, the new earth. So our prayer is you burn up every bit of dross, every bit of our own righteousness, our own glory, and you fill our hearts with your glory, Lord. Because your glory is what is eternal and forever. He is our mediator, isn't He? What a great mediation that He has worked. What a great mediation. Because He loves us. There's no greater love. No greater love than a man who would lay his life down. No greater love. And if we learn as humble children, Jesus told the disciples, He said, you must become as what? A little child. You must be willing to be taught of me. You must be willing to hear my words. You must be willing to receive me. You must be willing to believe in me. And as I've already said here, the Bible says that that willingness, that mind, that heart is in you. How is it in you? God gave it to you, didn't He? So He gave you the word to become, and He gives you everything in between to bring it to pass. We must learn to follow the Lord. We must learn to humble ourselves and honor God. Going back to Adam real quick. Adam, we were taught this the other night, but I just want to say one thing towards it. Adam was in fear. He was afraid of God after he sinned. There was fear. There was shame there. He was afraid. But that's not the right fear to be in. The fear of the Lord is clean. It's honor. It's respect. It's saying, without you, Lord, I have no life. Without you, I'm lost. I'm in darkness. But Lord, you be my light. You have cast out your light, meaning you have shown your light. And now I will learn to walk in it. He is the light of your world, isn't He? Of your world. Not this world. He's the light of our world. And if I look at Him, or if I look to Him as that light, what did He say He would do? Would He create that light in you? He told those disciples, He said, you are the light of the world. He didn't just say, I am. He said, you are. How does that work? Because He enters the heart. The Word of God enters the heart, and that Word begins to honor His Father, as Jesus did. And Jesus walked in obedience. And that obedience brought forth a life to the world. John said in chapter 1, he said, He's not only the light, but He's the life and the light of every man. Amen. And to see Him that, like that, you talk about a resurrection. You talk about a new man, a new glory, a conscience of God and a oneness and learning to be led by Him. Amen?
Amen.
Is God doing this? Are we seeing it? I was so happy to hear the testimonies that I heard yesterday come forth. Rejoice in my heart, because I know God is rejoicing. I don't care if you think it wasn't much, because that's a lie. As we said today, that word, what is it? It's all of it, isn't it? It's all in there. God, who knows all, has given each one of us faith to walk in. And if we walk in that faith, we're faithful. Didn't he give talents, PK? He might have given you 2 talents. He might have given you 5, vice versa. But what did he want you to do with it? Just be faithful with it. And what would he do? Would he come back and revisit and increase it and call you a good and faithful servant? What did that other servant that received one do? He hid it. You know what that enemy tries to do? I don't know if I could say this right now. I don't know if I could talk about that. What if I don't say things right? What if I don't know? What if I run out of things to say? What if I don't know how to speak it? Or did he just say, be faithful in what I gave you, and I will give you more? You see the intent? The intent is, Father, you gave me your word. You gave me what I possess right now. I know there's more. I can see more, and I'm not going to judge your word that you gave me as not enough. I'm going to judge it as you started a work for me and you will finish it. You will bring me to my expected end in you. All I have to do is be faithful to it. And you know what? He helps you with that. Because what he does is he speaks that word to you. Ceci? Evelyn? Did I say that right? I always question myself with that. But he gives you that word. Does he give you also the faithfulness to walk in it in that word? It's not by what we can do with it. It's by what he's done for us. We are saved by the work of Jesus in our heart, the word he's given us. And he provides everything in that word. You know what I was thinking about? And I'll probably be done. I know I said I was done, but or started to close, whatever you'd want to say. I started thinking about the fruits of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. You could go off and you could start searching this, and Lord, give me this and give me that because I think I need it. I think I need this. And, oh, I'm going through a hard time. I just need your patience. I just need your love. I just need your faith, your joy. You know what? I don't want to look at God like that anymore. I want to look at it as, God, you know what I need. You know all things. And in you exist all things. So if anything that I need, that you know I need, I believe your Spirit is making intercession for me. To do what? To join me back to you. We learn to trust God, don't we? We learn to believe that the Spirit is actually true. And his word is true. And we can receive it. And he brings forth fruit. So it's not about the size. God doesn't look at it like that. He sees the beginning. He sees the coming to. And he sees the end. But he speaks that word faithfully, knowing that that son, that word of God, that daughter is going to bring forth, because God's going to work a work to continue it. Make it new. Make it new, Lord. Make it all new. And every time you visit me by your word, and I receive it and learn to be faithful with it, I will be converted again and again. Fill us, Lord, with your Spirit. Oh, man. Do you know my perception of the Holy Ghost has been completely wrong? Anyone else want to say that was true for me too? I know the elder women have testified to us, and those things have been great. Let me tell you, let's hear it. It's helping not only you, but all who can hear what you're saying. It helped hearing that you, Ceci, had confidence in what God gave you. That helps. Obviously, the most important thing is for us to be faithful in ourselves to God. But got a little off track there. But he has worked this work. He is faithful to what he's given you, and he's going to be faithful to bring it to his expected end. Faithful to do what he said he would promise to do. He said, as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, so shall my word be, and it will not return unto me void. It will accomplish what I sent it forth to do. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. Let's agree today by the word of the Lord and the anointing of God to return to him, to receive his truth, and let that create in us continually. Every time he visits us, we will be made new. I know what I was saying. It was the Holy Ghost I was talking about in my perception. My perception of the Holy Ghost was when I allowed God in my heart. That's funny. Interesting. But when I allowed him in my heart, and when I allowed him to speak in a tongue that I had no idea what I was saying. Ariane, you might not even know about some of that, but we could talk about it if you want. But you know what was revealed to me? That God's already given us the Holy Ghost. And you know what he did for the disciples? He brought them in. He said, go tarry. You wait for me to visit you with the Spirit. Isn't that what he was saying? And God visited him, didn't he? And what did they receive? The Holy Ghost. And then what happened again a few chapters later? They did it. They received it again, PK, didn't they? So in every bit of the receiving of what God is working by the Spirit, you will be made new. You will receive more of the Holy Ghost. This is how we learn to be faithful with God. He gives, we receive, we bring back to him, and he gives again. Didn't he take those talents, the one that who hid in himself, who had a wrong perception of God? Didn't he take from him and add to the ones that were faithful, didn't he? Didn't he increase from 5 to 10? And what was it, 2 to 5? Our confidence has to be in the Lord. Our trust must be in the Lord. And you know what? He's bringing it in. He's bringing every one of us who will give ourselves to him into that truth, into that confidence, into that new man. The new man is here. It is the word of God. And that word of God, that new man, you don't have to work to get it. You just receive the gift of who he is to you. And in that, you are made new. And by being made new, you are putting off the old. I struggled for years, trying to put off the old so I can make myself worthy to come to God to say, oh, I'm new now, Lord. Mm-hmm. Don't you see it? Don't you see it? And the elder said, not yet. What do you mean not yet? I know I'm new. Not yet. Wrong perception. Wrong thought. But what happened? What continues to happen? He visits by his Spirit, doesn't he? And he brings us in and makes us new. Praise God for that today, huh? Amen. Has he given you something to be faithful with? Yes. Has he been faithful to give it to you? Yes. Has he continued to be faithful? Always. Our God is faithful. Amen. We must honor and serve the Lord above all things. God bless you today. And I'm welcoming conversation. If you have a question or thought, no matter what you think, it's stupid, whatever, let's talk. Let's let God have his place in our hearts and in our conversations and in our minds. Amen? Amen. Amen. Pastor Gary, I don't know what you want to do here.
Man, I'm so happy I don't have to work as hard this morning. Thing even on? Okay. I forget we don't have monitors, so I can't hear myself. Now, if Dan was here, he'd be making fun of me because he's like, dude, you got 2 ears. You can't hear yourself talking? I'm like, man, you're a teacher. I'm a preacher. And preachers got to hear themselves preach. I know that sounds so weird. He tells me that all the time. You guys doing all right this morning?
Oh,
Do I really need this? What is this, for the recording?
Yes, so it can be recorded.
I gotcha. Well, I don't need to be saying much up here. Brad did some good preaching, huh?
Yeah.
You guys, oh yeah. Look, man, Ernest. See, I had to go after that real quick. Because sometimes we don't realize we're so religious. We are so religious. Still, I know people don't realize it, but we are still so religious. When the word of the Lord comes, that's what we want to hear. So when that quickening come up, I got provoked, bro. When you provoke me, okay. That's Holy Ghost. That's the word of the Lord. Like you get the word of the Lord, we're going to listen to you. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you think you are, where you think you are in the order of this thing. If the Holy Ghost gives you a word, you got my attention. The Lord in me is going to listen to you. Does that make sense? That's submission to the anointing. We never get so high that we can't bow the knee, because when Jesus shows up on the scene, he's the preeminent one. Does that make sense? And so when that word came forth, it was just a wonderful little quickening, wasn't it? But I heard the Lord in it. I heard the Holy Ghost in it. But then we get this thought that enters in and we think, oh, you know, I'm taking up too much time, or I'm getting in the way. What are you talking about? The Lord ain't ever in the way. The Lord is the way. He is the way. You get out of the way and let Jesus be the way. And that includes me. We ain't getting in the way of this thing. We want Jesus to be the way. And if we're in him, then we're in the way, the right way. Let me read you guys something here. Matthew 6, 20-25. Jesus said, and this was right after he was talking about, you can't serve two gods. You can't serve two masters. You can't serve God and mammon. That's that religious spirit. It'll try to keep you in the balance of serving two. You can't serve two. Pick one. You want to serve the devil? Serve the devil. I tell people all the time, if you're going to be the devil and you're going to live in sin, be good at it. Be a good devil. To be a good devil, you got to be a really naughty devil. Because that's what the devil is. He becomes more and more wicked all the time. So if you want to be that parable, go on. Be that parable, but be good at it. I was all in, James. If I was going to be unrighteous, man, let's go. Let's be unrighteous. But when you come into the things of the gospel of Jesus Christ, God's going to require something. You know what he requires? You got to put that away. You can't try to be righteous and remain unrighteous. Right, Brad? You're going to make choice. You're going to choose. But listen to this. I won't preach long, but I say that a lot. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, which you shall put on. Well, we talked about the cares of life the other night. We get so wrapped up in the cares of life, which are the concerns of the life of God. When we're talking about this new man, we try to come to the throne of God and reason with God in the carnal mind. And the carnal mind's trying to explain to the spiritual mind how we're doing everything within our power to be this new man. And you'll literally stand there and argue with God and try to explain to God, no, you're wrong. You don't understand. I'm already doing everything I know to do. Why are you requiring more of me?
These are the thoughts we bring to God sometimes. Because we're so concerned and so full of fear and so full of doubt. That's the old man. That's not the new man. That's not how Jesus thinks. That's not how he walks. That's not how he talks. That's not how he imagines. The members of his body are righteous and holy and clean and pure, and they speak truth. But in our imagination, sometimes those thoughts rise up in us and we just don't understand the new man. And it frustrates the old man. When you're getting frustrated and you're getting overwhelmed and you're walking around concerned and you know what it is? You don't understand. You don't understand what the definitive of the new man really is. But guess what? When you come to the end of yourself, think of that prodigal son. When he come to the end of himself, when he got tired of trying to do it his way, when he got to the end of himself and it was all coming in on him, and he realized, I left my father's house. I had it made, man. I had it made. I had an inheritance, but I couldn't wait. I couldn't wait. I had to try to do this thing myself, and it caused him to go out, and he joined himself to a man of another country, and he became a citizen of another world that was not what God intended. But before you know it, he took everything of his inheritance, which the father, mind you, gave him. Said, yeah, it's yours. You want it? Here you go. And he went out. And he spent it all. He wasted it with riotous living. And I don't remember the context of everything else. I think there was a few lines in there somewhere about some whoremongering and some other things. And you say, well, my word, man. Now, remember, we quantified some of those definitives the other night, didn't we? Not what you think it is always. Like the adultery. We talked about some of those things. These are the things we are not anymore when you're walking in the new man. You're not an adulterous man when you're in the new man. You're not a fornicator when you're a new man. Your members are not given to harlotry when you're a new man. You got to go out, mind you, to even commit such an act. Go read Corinthians 6. You got to leave the body to go out and sin. You got to leave the body to go out and fornicate. Is that what those sons of God did in Genesis 6? Did they leave their heavenly habitation? Did they leave their first estate? Why? Because something in that earthly realm caught their attention, Brad. These beautiful daughters of the sons of men caught their attention and drew them away. They made a pack among themselves. There was a group of them. It wasn't just one of them. It was a group of them that said, we're going to go do this thing. And they went and did that thing. And that thing was a naughty thing. They shouldn't have done it. And they paid for it. I promise you. There was consequences to that going out. They were put in everlasting chains of darkness. Now, I know it's hard to wrap your mind around some of these things. But then, in eternity, God can reach back all the way to that beginning, and he can change a thing that was this and change it to this. Or this is now that, which the prophet Joel talked about, right? It becomes something other. It becomes something new. You say, well, wait, it says everlasting chains. They were pinned there in that prison for eternity. Yeah, that's true. Until God changed their eternity. God has to change it. He has to take you out of one spirit and put you into another. That's why you must be born again. You got to be born of those waters, those floods that God poured out upon Noah's day. You gotta look at it from the mind of God. God don't destroy like we think. See, the carnal mind thinks that destruction is defined as you eliminate a thing, you destroy it, and it is no more. That's not how God thinks. God don't think of it like that. You say, well, what are you trying to say? You telling us God saves the devil? No, we ain't trying to save the devil. I'm telling you that a brother that went out and fell away from God and was put into a prison place by his own choice, when he comes to the end of himself, there's a Christ in you that rises up and remembers that brother and goes back and gets him and changes him so he ain't a devil no more. He's your brother restored. That's what it is. Get me fired up. That's not hard to do for a burning one. Now, where was I at? Let me show you something here. He said, "This is not this life more than meat? There's something you got to put on." Let me just read something to you. You guys all right? I know y'all thinking, man, let's get out of here and go eat. I am eating. Romans 13. There's so much here. We can't get into it all, but I'm just going to read a few verses for you. In Romans 13, verse 11 through verse 14, and that, knowing the time. Now, I want you to go back in your own time, and you can read probably in verse 8 is good enough. You could read the whole chapter if you want to, but he's talking about fulfilling the law, right? And he's talking about the law stating things like thou shalt not commit adultery, right? Or steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not covet. If there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. So I'm reading. I'm going to go ahead and go just read it. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. We were watching that movie last night, The Cell. Some people had to bell. That's some weird stuff, man, right? Yeah, it is. When you go into some of those worlds of iniquity, you see some weird stuff. But let me ask you a question, PK. How much love, how much compassion do you think is needed to be able to go into the depths of a world of iniquity and get back a brother? You can't do it if your perception is in that of an enemy. If you have aught against your brother, you ain't going to save him. You listening to me? If you have aught against your daughter, if you have aught against your wife, if you have aught against the body, you ain't going out to save them. The only thing that's going to go out is love, compassion, mercy, grace. These are things that work in the anointing. These are things that work in the members of that new man. See, that new man is Jesus. Jesus has a different nature than the man of sin. He has a different imagination than the man of sin. The man of sin will hold grudges for years. I know, man, I've worked it. Or I should say it's worked in me once upon a time. But you know what God wants to do to that old man? He wants to burn it up. He wants to burn it up. See, inside that man is a heaven and an earth. Now, you got to be spiritual to understand what we're talking about here this morning. You got to let God form it in your mind. You get rid of that spirit, that religious mind that tries to create all this imagery, and rest in God and let God do the work. Remember what I said. Those 6 days of creation, God did that in the rest. He was in the seventh day doing that work. That's hard to wrap the mind around. God didn't strive in those days of creation. He knows who he is. You got to know who you are. But this is interesting because it's the heaven and the earth that God is after. God wants to make them one again, doesn't he? That's why God's doing this work among us right now with our women. Because God was never intending to leave them behind. But imagine if God tried to do that out of order. Imagine if we did it out of order. You know what would have happened? I'm going to speak plain. The men, if God didn't get some things right in this eldership, we would have never handled this woman properly. Oh, I said it. I said it. We wouldn't have handled the woman with the right spirit, meaning we wouldn't handle the church the right way. And trust me, there's some history there, because in that old man, ego and all of those abominations are at work, and you can look back, and if you let God talk to you about it, God will walk you right through and show you how all those abominations worked in you. Show you how you handled the church. Show you that you were more concerned about being seen of men than you were bringing the word of the Lord and work salvation to the body. That's why the anointing is so important. So when you're talking about being a ministry of God, when you're talking about being a man and a woman of God, when you're talking about being an anointed one, when you're talking about walking around here full of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I said walking around here full of the Holy Ghost. Because that's just the way it is, man. It goes all the way from heaven. And I'm pointing out here, I get heaven is within you. I've been preaching it all week. But heaven is all the way up here. And sometimes we're so separated from where God is. We discount ourselves. We don't think that we're in this thing or we're of this thing. I got news for you. When you tap into this thing, you submit yourself to the anointing, you bow the knee to Jesus Christ, it works from heaven all the way down to right here. And what I mean by that is you're not going to walk around here, Patty, saying, oh, I'm a man of God. I'm a man of God in heaven. But then down here, you're some adulteress, fornicating, full of strife, full of rebellion, full of witchcraft, lying, two-faced hypocrite. That is not how this thing works. You guys all right? You still love me? We're going to let the anointing change us. Change us so that what you see on Sunday morning is what you see all week long. You're not going to call me on Tuesday and all of a sudden I'm completely different, talking completely different. You get what you get on Sunday, what you get on Monday, what you get on Tuesday, and all the way through the week. Because when you give yourself to God in this thing, it's with you all the time. And when that nature of Jesus Christ comes into you, you have put him on. I know I'm jumping ahead, but you've put him on and you have put away those things of the man of sin. And the love of God comes into your heart and the law of God is fulfilled in you, because now you don't do it because you have to. You do it because you want to. Now you love God because your heart desires God with everything within you. And you're not walking around here saying, yeah, I guess I got to go to church again because these guys told me I got to do it. No, you hit the ground running saying, man, I can't wait to get into the presence of God and listen to that good preaching, because I know it's going to provoke the Holy Ghost in me, and I'm going to go into visions and I'm going to hear the things that God has for me. That's all I did, sit over there for 40 plus minutes in visions, letting God talk to me, showing me some amazing things. And you say, well, it was just Brad preaching. That's how we think. It wasn't an elder, it was just a deacon. How could you be over there in visions? Because it's Holy Ghost. Because love is at work. And I'm talking about going back into eternity past and grafting some things into the now. Watch this. He says that knowing the time. What? Knowing the time of what, James? That the love of God is here. That now, for the first time, it's going to create something in the man that's never been there before. You with me?
Yes, sir.
Knowing that the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. I've been in a lot of visions and dreams where people were sleeping and I was watching over them, watching them sleep. And looking at their dreams, looking at their thoughts, looking at their what was working in their imaginations and thinking, my God, man, they need a resurrection. It's high time. It's high time. Do you have to stay in that sleep? Or could this word of the Lord that's going forth right now by the Holy Ghost, could it wake you up and bring you into these spiritual things? Could it baptize you into the new man? He says, now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. See, we have this lie that has worked among us that has tried to tell us that we don't believe this thing. But I'm gonna set that straight this morning. John said it like this, said, you think you've heard this right now for the first time. He said, this is not the first time you've heard this. You heard this in the beginning. And what he means by you heard it in the beginning, Brad, is you believed it then. You believed what God told you, your father told you. You believed it then. But a devil got in the mix. A Satan got in the mix. And convinced you otherwise and took you out of the body. A tale, a false prophet, drug you out of the body. And by the time it dawned on you, by the time it hit you, it was too late. I'm going to tell you, I visited some of them stars and they were in their minds. They were like, oh my God, it hit them. But it was too late. They were out, man. They were out. Now what do you do? I'll tell you what you do. You remember. You just need an awakening. You just need to remember. And you know who does the remembering? The Holy Ghost does the remembering. Woo! The Holy Ghost takes you back to that beginning and causes you to remember the covenant you made with your father, and then begins to identify that man of sin and show you the pride and the arrogance and the adultery and the fornication that entered into your heart. He'll show you the going out. He'll show you your fall. Remember Saul on his way to Damascus, letters in hand? He fell. That was God showing him his fall. Let me talk to you, Paul. Let me talk to you, Saul. In the book of Acts, it was synonymous. They called him Paul. Saul didn't make no difference to God. God knew exactly who he was. Whether Saul, whether Paul, he was a new man now. God take you back to that beginning and make all things new. Watch this. He says, the night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Wait a minute, what? You got power to cast off the works of darkness?
Yes.
Let me tell you something. When you come into sonship, when you come into the new man, God will take you back into the Genesis. You'll go back into the beginning of the creation of God. And guess who it will be saying, let there be light. It'll be that new man in you. Christ will rise up in you and you will work the works of God. and create the whole thing in the Holy Ghost. You'll be the partaker of Christ. You'll join him. You'll join your brother. And he'll teach you, this is how you do it. This is how you do it. This is what you do. I mean, come on now. We let that devil teach us long enough. Time to cast him off and become the son. And you say, no, come on now, Gary, what you doing here, man? You trying to, this sounds sacrilegious. Well, only God does that. Who in the world do you think you are trying to tell me that I'm going to be like God, that I'm going to be like Jesus? Oh, yeah, man, this religious spirit will convince you all day long. No, you don't want to think like that. Don't think like that. But I'm telling you to think like that. God's telling you to think like that. Why? Because kind reproduces after its kind. God is a spirit. You are a spirit. Why? Because God made you spirit. God is a light. You are a light. Why? Because God made you a light. Be the light. That's all God asks you for. Now, you'll never be the God. Let's use some common sense here. You ain't the God, but you are born of God. Remember how we started this out? He that is born of God sinneth not. This is what we're talking about, becoming that new man, born of God. Know who you are. You can walk into a world of darkness that the devil made a wasteland of, and you can start a creation and say, let there be light, and recreate that whole thing from the beginning and make it what it should have been all the time. Make it what God intended. I know. We'll stretch some minds here this morning. He said, let us walk honestly. Now catch what I said there. He said, cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. When I saw it in the beginning, this was, 10 plus years ago. I can't remember sometimes, maybe even longer. When I went into that first day, it was a creature. It was a man. I saw light and darkness. I saw light above and darkness below. What was, I didn't know at the time what I was even seeing. But in the mirage of it, and I have to say it that way because the vision at that time, the creative work, it wasn't fully formed. It was being created. But I saw this breastplate over this being. I saw this breastplate, and then I saw a hand that was a flame. I saw a finger that had fire in it, and it began to write on that breastplate, true and faithful witness. And it was bringing forth the creation of this being. And all of a sudden, light is being divided. This is your first day. Because what's being created there is a man. But I thought it was pretty interesting that there was armor there. Now, I've never spoke that before. That's the first time I've ever told this publicly. I talked to Rick about it all those years ago. And it was quite an exciting conversation. But all through those days, God, you'll be right there with him. He'll be right there with you. And you'll bring forth the entire creation of God. Where, Brad? Where? In you. You become the partaker. You become the one that is now sharing this inheritance with your brother, Jesus Christ. And God the Father. Oh, man, you can't deny either one of them. Don't do that. You'd be Antichrist. And John said there are many Antichrists. Where are we at? We got to wrap up here. He said, let us walk honestly. Now, this is how the new man walks. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying. You remember that tree that got so exalted and he was so tall and so beautiful and so full of wisdom that all the other trees of the garden envied him? Aren't we done with all that? Or do we have some that still need to come to that? See, we're all in different days. Maybe you've come to the end of the creation, and maybe you're in that day of rest. That's what you said Dan talked about, right? Why would Dan talk about that? Has he come into the rest? Yes. That means he's had to experience those 6 days of creation. What do you think? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, does God have that in store for you? Or is it just a few of us? See, there's an order to God here. But what if you're just now in the beginning of that first day? That'd be an awesome thing, wouldn't it? Wouldn't you take pleasure? Wouldn't you take joy? And be like, thank you, Lord, man. I'm learning how light is being divided from darkness. I'm learning. I'm the new man. That's pretty good stuff, isn't it? So you wouldn't want to esteem one day above the other, and some do. Some esteem one day above the other, and some say, well, this day matters more than the other. Oh, yeah, we still got that among us.
Well, I'm in the seventh day. My day is greater.
Well, in actuality, it is greater. But you wouldn't want to be haughty about it, would you? You wouldn't want to look at the one that's in the first day and say, only in the first day? Too bad, so sad for you. Arrogant, man. But that's how that devil acts. That's how that old man thinks. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, man. When you come into certain things of God and you start seeing God raise up things in you and you say, okay, this one's in day one, this one's in day two, you're excited for them because they're now coming into the beginning of the creation of God, man. That should excite you because the kingdom of God in you is being increased. And great is that kingdom, man. Oh, good Lord, this is good. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. It's time to put on Jesus. It's time to put on the Lord. And that way, if we're walking in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust thereof. Now, there's preaching that will agitate spirits. And I've agitated some here this morning. Good. Good. That means it's God. Watch this. Two more, real quick here. Ephesians 4. You've not so learned Christ talking about all those things of lasciviousness and uncleanness and greediness. He said that, Paul said, that's the thing that was. This is that old man, man. Your members are made anew. Not going to be greedy no more. Not going to be haughty no more. You ain't working those abominations. Your hands don't shed innocent blood anymore. They lay hands on the sick and heal them. You ever done that? You ever be in dreams and lay hands on? Man, I'm going to tell you right now, whether it's healing the sick, whether it's casting out devils, you ever take up a serpent? Ernest, you ever take up a serpent? You ever lay hands on and impart the Holy Ghost? See, these things are important. God wants the members of the body to be active. It's like I was talking to Brad this morning. His eyes are getting opened. You gotta understand that it's not your eyes. It's the eyes of the Lord. His eyes can see what you can't see. And I'm going to tell you right now, man, you get into his eyes will show you eternity past, eternity present, eternity future. The thing that was, the thing that is, the thing that will be. His eyes can show you anything he desires to show you, but you know what he's waiting on? He's waiting on the right heart, the right intent. He can't give it to the hands that shed innocent blood. He can't give it to the feet that are swift to go play in mischief. He can't give it to a fornicator and an adulterer. He can't give it to someone that's going to abuse it. I'm going to tell you, when the word of the Lord comes to you, be humble. Walk softly before the Lord. And don't you steal another man's gift. Been there, done that, I'm telling you. Don't lust after another man's woman. Don't you lust after another man's gift. You old man, you perverse old man, don't do it. You don't want to go after another man's anointing. You want to let God give you yours. And it'll always be his. You want to wait. Be patient. Stay in the order. Don't get out of line. I'm going to tell you right now, God will put you to the back of the line. There's a seat. I'm not going to tell the thing, but there's an order. You remember the parable Jesus talked about? You'll come to the table. Don't be swift. Don't be quick to pick your own seat. Don't be quick to take a seat. Lest the how do you say it? The bridegroom, it wouldn't matter. The king, the prince, the governor, someone walk up and say, excuse me, you're in the wrong seat. I need you to get up and you come over here and you sit here. It might be at the very end of the table, but I got news for you. Instead of taking a thought, why am I not at the front of the table? You're at the table. David said, I'd just be okay if I'm just a door porter in the house of God, because at least I'm in the house of God, James. At least I'm there. But I'll tell you the flip side to this. If God does walk up to you and say, take this seat, sit right here beside me, you'd be glad and you take that seat. Because it was just given to you. See, it works both ways. But you got to let God do this thing. See, we're just provoking a few things. Let God talk to you. We want to be clean, don't we? So he said, you don't want to work in all this lasciviousness. He said, we have not learned Christ this way. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus. You know what I love so much about Paul? He didn't even walk with Jesus in the earth. When the Lord appeared to Paul and revealed his fall to him and revealed the righteousness of God to him, he went off alone for several years, didn't even go see any of the apostles. He just went and talked to Jesus, and he was taught of the Lord. Paul said, Jesus taught me. How did that happen? That happened in the Holy Ghost. And then he said, when I finally did go up and meet, I believe it was with Peter, he said, I went up by revelation. He was talking about, I went up in the revelation of Jesus. And then he could talk to those apostles, and he was behind in nothing. See, the first shall be last, the last shall be first. You don't have to worry. I've preached for years about that Joel, that book of Joel, that God will restore the years the cankerworm, the palmer worm, the caterpillar has eaten away. No matter how delayed you were, God will take you and put you back in your order. He'll put you back in where you belong. God does that. There ain't nothing missing. You don't lack anything. Now watch this. He says, where was I at here? He said that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, Now, what did I just read to you? Paul said, put ye on the Lord Jesus. Who is that new man? It is Jesus. Put him on this morning. Put him on. You say, well, how do I do that? Well, first of all, you got to take something off. You got to put something off. Remember those waters in the days of Noah? You got to be born out of those waters into the new living waters. That's being born again. You got to be born out of the spirit of those sons of God that were wicked in their minds continually into the spirit of Jesus Christ, which is the Holy Ghost. So you're born out of one, Brad, into another one. You're born out of that little G we talked about yesterday into the big G. The big G is my daddy. The devil ain't my daddy no more. You say, what? Oh, yeah, John 8, man. He said, the devil is your father. He told those Pharisees, that's your daddy. He said, you don't know me. Before Abraham was, I am. He said, all you ever want to do is kill me. You don't love me. You don't hear me. You don't follow me because your father is the devil. And you say, well, boy, it sucks to be those Pharisees. Well, until one of them like Nicodemus comes. Now, I get it. It started out slow. He come in the middle of the night. He's like, hey, I can't let nobody see me come to Jesus. We think like that, believe it or not. I can't ask no questions because, you know, I'll look like, you know, what are we really afraid of? Are we afraid of people in the room, or are we afraid that we're going to start a storm in our imagination and all those devils that have been talking to us for so long are going to overcome us? I got news for you, man. At some point, you got to take a stand. You got to take a stand. And you got to let that devil know. No, you've had power for a very long time, but I just heard a word from a man named Jesus. And what he told me is that God can change my heart. He can change my will. He can change my imagination. And if I believe his word, I can become a son of God. You got to talk to him. And you got to let him know. Now, I'm not telling you go pick no fight with no big devil you ain't ready to fight off with. Even Michael did not dare bring railing accusation when Satan disputed with him about the body of Moses. But when it did come time and Michael was ready and Michael saw what that devil was doing, because that wonder appeared in him, it appeared in his imagination, he let that devil know, you done, boy. You done. And when he pulled that sword, it was not no 3-hour, 30-day, 1-year, 30-year fight. It was pop, wounded his head and put him out. There was lightning in that being. There was lightning in his sword. There was lightning from the throne. There was lightning in all of it. And he put him right out of heaven and cast him to the earth. And he was no more in that heaven. Don't tell me the devil wins this thing. Go read the end of the book. Jesus was always destined to win this thing. Join yourself to him. What's the old saying? Join the winning side. They always razz us when, because I'm a, you know, Dan and I, we're college football guys. We like college football better than NFL because we like to watch young men that still love the game and are not a bunch of grown crybabies. But anyway, that's just me. Overpaid, etc. But they love playing the game, and they're a lot of fun to watch. But we don't like watching losers. Somebody says, what's your favorite team? Whoever's winning. Who's in the top 5? Tell me who's the top 10. That's who I'm watching. I ain't watching somebody that's unranked unless they're playing somebody that's a rival and could cost that top 10 team a spot. If it's going to be a good game, I'm going to watch it because I want to see the top contender challenged. I want to see them challenged. I want to see them pushed to the very end, because that's how you become a champion. We walk around here, I don't want to deal with the devil today. No, you do. You have to. You go into that wilderness. Jesus didn't shy away. The Spirit of God brought him into that wilderness. And why? Why did Jesus have to go into that wilderness, Brad? Because Adam blew it for all of us. He sinned. He didn't keep the commandment of God. But he did love his wife enough to go with her. He did. Now, that's funny, because in the beginning, he was ready to throw her under the bus. Oh, no, it's the woman you gave me, Lord. Come on now. Don't put that on me. That was her. Excuse me. Adam, she came from you, buddy. She was you. She is you. I look at my wife once upon a time. I say, boy, that woman, stubborn, Hatfield, Devillands. Come on now. Get that straight. Then God started talking to me. Well, she's an aspect of your angel, buddy, so that means she came from you. Is it possible that she is the way she is because you are the way you are? Okay, Lord. Okay, Lord. Check. We good now. Love and compassion. Patience. Lord, have patience with me. Isn't that how he taught him how to pray? He said, you forgive those who have sinned against you. Those are you. Love your neighbor as yourself. Why? Because your neighbor is yourself. Just a little few nuggets. This is all about who we are in God. So who did God send me to? Did he send me just out here to all of you just to good do some good preaching and this is what we're after? Or is there a big old world? Is there a big old universe? Is there a big old galaxy in here? You know, the universe is huge, man. I don't remember all the math, but our universe alone, and they say there's so many, there could be a trillion universes. They don't know. You know, man is just man. But just in our universe, there's like, I don't even know how many galaxies, a trillion galaxies. Just our galaxy, called the Milky Way, has 200 billion stars in it, Brad. That's what I saw one time when I saw my wife. It was an entire galaxy of stars. They were all my children. And I was prophesying to them, and I was saying, don't go out, don't do it. Submit yourself to the anointing. And some of them were stubborn little sottish kids, man. Stubborn. It was coming out of the womb of my wife. It was just pouring out. And I was trying to tell them. And some of those first ones, they were like, oh, no, man, we got this other word talking to us. We got this other entity. And he's telling us we can be like God. I was like, don't do it. Don't do it. Stay in the anointing. I'll give it to you without reservation. I'll give it to you at the appointed time. But you got to wait on it. You guys with me? All right, let's wrap up for the fifth time. He said, be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Holiness. Boy, I'm going to tell you, man, there's some holiness in the things of God, man, that God's about to show us. The man's going to be the right kind of man. The woman of God's going to be the right kind of woman. And you're going to produce the right kind of babies. That's what John did in 1 John 2. He said to the elect lady, he said, the elder to the elect lady. Now you got an elect son of God, an elder son of God, talking to his elect wife. And he says, I love to see our children walking in truth. I love it. He said, but don't forget,
Don't lose that which we have wrought in God. Don't do it. Don't you let Antichrist back in. He's talking to that woman. You say, wait, what? As a woman, I'm responsible? I got some skin in the game, if you will. Yes, you do. You got to guard that house. Isn't it Proverbs 31? Does that woman guard the house? Uh-huh. See, you women, you don't even know what's coming yet, but it's coming nonetheless. God's going to teach you how to guard the house, man. And guess what? You don't know it now, but some of you ladies are going to come into the wisdom of God, and you're going to understand that there are angels at your disposal. Angels at your word will stand at the gate and guard the way. And I don't mean disposal in the sense of the negative interpretation of that. I'm saying you're going to be able to, by the wisdom of God, say, and you'll call him by name. You'll be like, come here. Well, I almost named him. Come here, son. Guard this door. Don't let no devils in. Telling you what, man, this devil's got a he's got a time stamp. He's got a finish date. And that New Jerusalem's going to be holy and clean, and there ain't going to be no perverseness in her. This is for everyone that has an ear to hear. All right, I'm done. Any questions? There was one last thing I was going to go to over in Ephesians. He continues to talk about, put ye on the armor of God. Remember the vision about the breastplate? You ever seen an angel armored? You ever seen him in armor? Oh, man, fierce. Fierce, man. Good stuff.